My name is Eileen, and although very few people have believed me since I was a little girl, my dream was to work at Hooters. This was always a source of ridicule at school, because when they asked all my classmates, they wanted to be doctors, veterinarians, drive airplanes, or work as lawyers. All of those jobs seemed incredibly dull to me. At Hooters, on the other hand, all the girls seemed to always have fun. Every time we went there, they were all smiling, talking to each other and the customers, active and happy. I was convinced that as soon as I turned 18, I would work there. But little did I know, the nightmare was coming to me when I did. A week after I turned 18 and went to Hooters to drop off my resume, I had no work experience, but I tried to look as enthusiastic and happy as possible. The manager seemed like a nice guy, treated me very well, and told me how Hooters was first a family and then a job. After the interview, he said that he would call me during the day after evaluating the other candidates. But when he saw me nervous, he winked at me and told me to stay calm and that the job was mine. When I left, I was jumping for joy in the street. I was so happy that people probably thought I had won the lottery. There would be more than one person who would be surprised if they knew that I only had an interview at Hooters. When I got home, I remember being glued to my cell phone, waiting for the call. Luckily, I didn't have to wait that long, because a few hours later, I was already listening to the voice of the kind manager who had served me, telling me to come to try me the next day in the morning, before the store opened. I told my parents, almost crying from happiness. I knew that sooner or later, I would end up at Hooters, and luckily, it was sooner rather than later. That night, I could barely sleep. As soon as it was morning, I woke up sleep-deprived, took a long bath to relax, and after a huge breakfast that I refused to eat to look skinny, I went to Hooters. My father interrupted me and told me not to let anyone take advantage of me, to which I laughed at him and told him to calm down, as there is a lot of security and everyone who works at Hooters looks out for the health of their employees. My father didn't seem convinced, but he hugged me, and I left. I arrived much earlier than I agreed, but my manager was already waiting for me. I knew that Hooters wasn't even open at that time, but even so, there were already employees working. Upon seeing me, the young manager greeted me with a hug and told me that he welcomed me, and even though I was on a trial run, I was well on my way, and the job was almost mine. The man introduced me to the rest of the employees, and they all greeted me very nicely. The girls had that happiness and friendliness that I saw so much when I was a kid, so I tried to be as much like them as possible. After that, my manager left me with an employee who greeted me and told me that she was the one who had been there the longest. She showed me how to treat customers and all the strategies at Hooters to keep them ordering. At first, I was a little uncomfortable, but I was already 18 years old. I was aware of what Hooters was all about, and I went to work there willingly, knowing what I was going to find. After a few hours of training, the girl told me I was ready to serve some customers, so my manager sent me to my first table. The man was middle-aged and was with his friends, also his age. I went over to take his order, and the man spoke for everyone ordering a burger, fries, and beer. I admit that this man did not make me feel as good as I expected. I could feel him looking at me constantly, and I even received some sexual comments from him. But I put up with it and never wiped the smile off my face. When I returned to my manager, who was nearby listening to everything, he congratulated me and quickly sent me to another table, since the man had just sat down. The man had a strange smell, like liquor. He asked me to sit with him, and I had no choice but to do so. As the man spoke to me, I could feel a strange, rotten breath coming out of his mouth as he came closer and closer to me. He tried to touch my leg, so I violently slapped his hand away and left the table. My manager's reaction surprised me. He was angry with me, telling me that no matter what, I couldn't leave that way, as it would scare the customer away. The manager made me go back to that table to apologize, while the man, with a big smile, accepted my apology as long as it didn't happen again. I was a little angry, But this was the job I had wanted for so long, so I was going to put up with whatever it took until I got used to it. I went back to serving this man, putting up with his rude comments and some leg rubbing. I wanted him to go away, but he not only took forever to eat, but he asked for small meals at a time. To make matters worse, the kitchen was taking forever, and the man wanted me exclusively for himself, which my manager forced me to accept by way of apology. While I was with him, the man received a call and ran out of the store to answer it. He left his things in the store, so I knew that my torment with him was not over. But at least I could rest for a moment. I approached the kitchen to tell my manager how much I had endured and show him how much I had improved about the wrong time I had had before. But before I opened the door, I heard his voice talking to the girl who had trained me. They were both laughing loudly. I quickly realized that they were talking about me, since the manager mentioned me as the new girl and not Eileen. I stayed a while longer, listening to decipher if they were talking about how I was doing, and what I heard surprised me so much that I almost fell to the floor. The man was saying that the idea of hiring new girls to put up with the worst clients had worked, that now his boss would be happy that we didn't write off any clients. They both laughed at me for putting up with as much as I put up with from that man, and revealed that after a few days, they planned to say that I mistreated the clients, fired me, and put another new girl in training. At that moment, I was furious, and I felt that this man had taken advantage of all my happiness and the desire I had to work with them, and had used me as no one else had ever done before. I came out of my hiding place dizzy and found the man again, shouting furiously at me from his table to go and serve him again. The man was calling me names and insulting me nonstop. I almost started to cry, but a sense of anger overcame my body and drove me to his table. As soon as I was next to him, I sat down, and he started talking to me in a low voice, telling me not to leave again, that as long as he was taking care of me, I was his property. The man began to run his hand down my leg, to which I responded by grabbing his knife and plunging it violently into his crotch. Blood spurted out, and the man stopped and began to run desperately around the room, clutching himself, until he bumped into a table and fell. His desperate screams made my manager come out and ask what was going on. When I saw him, my first impulse was to throw the knife at him, but I missed, and it went inches from his throat. Still furious, I yelled at him to quit and left the premises. No one tried to stop me. People just approached the wounded man while my manager just froze and watched me go. A few minutes later, the police showed up at my house and took me away. I accepted and left without resistance. Luckily, the man survived my attack, and although he pressed charges, my parents had outstanding lawyers, and I spent very little time in prison. Shortly after that, I found out that the store had closed because of what had happened. When I got out of jail, I decided to go to medical school, and I also vowed never to set foot in a Hooters again. Working at Hooters isn't for the faint of heart. It's guaranteed that when you're a woman, filling out an application, you're giving men permission to only look at your breasts and nothing else. I'm not even sure our customers know what our faces look like. It is a literal requirement to own an impressive rack to get the job. I was surprised when Glenn, the manager, called me in for an interview after seeing what I lacked. I sat down across from him, and he started asking me the basic questions. Why do you want to work at Hooters? What's your availability? Tell me about yourself. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I felt my answers were good until it was time to ask about the uniform. Okay, Ginger, I have to be blunt with you. You don't have very big breasts. That's the attraction of our clientele. It's a requirement here. I swallowed and nodded. No, I don't. I know that's the requirement here, but... He cut me off. If you know, what drove you here? I've always wanted to feel more confident in myself and be a waitress. I feel this job could do that for me. Glenn smiled at me and leaned over his desk to meet my eyes. Lucky for you, Ginger. You don't have to worry about the size of your goods. See, the women who work for me are required to take enhancers. They work as quickly as overnight. The other girls here have seen amazing benefits, and you will too. I agreed to take the pills when I accepted the job. I was extremely nervous about it, but I took some that night, and when I woke up the next day, I was amazed to see that I had gone from an A cup to a B cup. With a boost of confidence, I got out of bed and tackled the day before I started my first shift at Hooters. I put on my uniform, which I wasn't sure would fit until I woke up, to a whole new cup size. I still had a ways to go, but the way these worked, I'd be a D in a matter of a few days, and then I would really fill out the shirt. A couple of girls walked up to me with friendly smiles on their faces. "Hi, I'm Brittany. I'll be training you tonight." "I'm Fallon, the host. You come to me if anyone here gives you trouble." "It's nice to meet you." I smiled as we all shook hands. Brittany's energy seemed intense, but she was cool, and I was looking forward to working with her. That night turned out to be difficult, as the guys weren't interested in me serving them. Brittany told me not to worry about it. She told me the story of when she started, how she was too lacking in the plush, perky breast department. Within days, it all changed as she took the enhancers, and she loved it here. She even took it well when clients dehumanized her. Her attitude had her thanking them for it. It was as though her breasts were the most important things that kept her validated and a valued employee at Hooters. Fallon carried the same attitude. It was as though they were slaves to the clientele, and if they were happy, Glenn was happy, and work went smoothly. It all seemed too good to be true, but as I took the enhancers, I built my way up to a double D. I saw what it meant. I felt amazing in my own body, and all I wanted to do was take care of my rack. When the customers came flooding in, they wanted me to serve them. I even let them touch me. It was a wild party every night at work. When I got home, it was like the blinders of the magic were ripped off, and I was left to my thoughts. How I let those pigs touch me, degrade me? I hated myself for it, and I would swear I would find a better job and quit. I did find another job at a local cafe. It was definitely quieter, and other than the occasional Karen or Kevin I had to deal with, it was better than the spell I was under at Hooters. I stopped taking the enhancements. I thought I dodged a bullet until one day I woke up and my bed felt wet. I wondered if I sweat in my sleep, but when I blinked to clear my vision, I gasped as I saw the source wasn't sweat, but blood. I sat up and blood was coming out of my pores, dripping out of my eyes like tears. I started coughing violently. I thought what I coughed up was phlegm, but when I picked it up, it was a piece of my organs. I was literally rotting on the inside. I put some clothes on and rushed to Hooters, demanding to see Glenn. But it was Brittany who came to talk to me. "I knew this would happen to you after you left." "This? I'm rotting from the inside out." "I thought I could escape too. You probably went home and felt the pangs of everything you endured during your shift. Allowing these pigs to treat you as though you're their property. The sad part is, once you take those pills, you are. And you hate yourself for it. The self-loathing eats at you, just like your body eats itself without the pills. There's only one hope for you now." "What is that?" "Take the pills, come back, and forever be the property of Hooters. Your body is no longer yours, but theirs. Or you can leave now and rot away to nothing. It's your choice." I didn't want to die. I was wasting away by the second, and I had no other choice. I took the pills, put on my uniform, and returned to work. I lost all control of my body. I truly became a slave to the ways of a Hooters girl, a prisoner to the pills, and forever trapped in this place. Ladies, when you're applying to work at Hooters and the manager tells you to take a pill, don't take the job. It'll consume you, literally.
It all started 2 weeks ago. As usual, my friend Mike and Sally went to Hooters to have some food and drinks. That day was different than others, because instead of going there to have fun, we went there to make Mike feel better about the recent divorce process he was going through. None of us would know this innocent night would turn into a nightmare that I still have to deal with daily. When we first sat there, Mike would cheerily talk with us. If we were not his close friends, we would not understand the sadness in his voice, though. At some moment, while we were having a nice conversation and laughing, Mike's eyes catching a glimpse of one of the girls that worked there. I looked at the woman and was shocked to see the resemblance. She looked exactly like Mike's ex-wife, Beth. From that moment on, Mike would not say a single word. He was just sitting with a mesmerized look on his face, eyes locked on the Hooters girl. Sally, being the most extroverted one of our little group, noticed the situation and, to cheer Mike up, asked the girl to come to our table. She came near us and asked if we had any other orders. Sally said that we wanted nothing but her time. Even though she hesitated at first, Sally convinced her to take a seat with us. Mike would not take his eyes off her. Sally asked her name, and she said it was Ellie. At that moment, Mike started to speak again. "Does your name come from Elizabeth?" She kindly nodded. Mike smiled with his eyes wide open like a maniac. I took it as a behavior that revealed Mike's unhealthy state of mind, but Sally thought it was a genuine smile. Sally kept on talking with Ellie, praising Mike constantly to this woman who just met us. I think she was trying to make Ellie and Mike hook up so that he could feel a bit better about himself. I didn't want to say anything, but I knew that something was off about this situation. After a while, Mike started to act normal again, but he would only reply to Ellie and would not react to the things Sally and I said. As time passed, Ellie would go and take orders from other tables, then come join us again. She seemed like a pretty cool person, and I enjoyed her talk. I was surprised to find out that we actually had a lot of things in common. She was a cat person, like I was. She loved watching soccer, and loved watching romantic comedies. We began to talk about the movies we saw, and I realized that she watched and loved most of the movies I loved. We talked with Ellie for hours, and while I was enjoying her company, I was not aware of the time. It was late, and the restaurant was closing. Ellie said that she would help the others to close the restaurant, and Sally went with her to help as well. When my focus shifted on Mike, I noticed him staring at me with frustration and envy. I asked if everything was all right, but he didn't say anything. I guess that the reason for his anger was because our conversation with Ellie, but I didn't want to believe that. He was expecting me to say something, anything, but I didn't say any words in hopes that he realized how insane his reaction was. I wish I had said something, but I didn't. Mike left the restaurant. He was so angry that he left his coat inside. I went up and helped Ellie. We finished the work in 15 minutes, and Ellie and I continued our conversation. I don't know how the situation led up to that, but we ended up kissing. We're both young, attractive people. I don't blame us for doing it. We stopped kissing out of embarrassment when we heard Sally say, "Aw, look at the two lovebirds. Aren't they cute, Mike?" With these words, I looked at Mike's face. He was looking at us with red eyes. His eyes didn't reveal any anger. It was something else. He had the eyes of a person who had completely lost his sanity. He went to our table, took his coat, came near us. With a fake smile on his face, he said, "Are you ready to go home?" At that moment, I hoped that his smile was genuine, but I knew it wasn't. We went outside. Mike asked Ellie to drive her home, but she said that her place was near mine, so she decided to come with me. Mike took Sally to his car, and then went away in a hurry. I remember finding it strange that Sally would go with him, as her place was near to where I lived as well, but I figured that she might have been accompanying him to cheer him up a little bit more. When we got close to my house, Ellie asked to come inside, and I said, okay. Ellie spent the night with me. Around 4 a.m. when we were sleeping, I woke up from my sleep upon hearing a loud knocking at the door. As I went up to open the door, I heard the screeching sound of car tires. Who is this? It's 4 a.m. I inquired. No reply. I slowly opened the door. I found a box at my doorstep with crimson liquid leaking out of it. I could feel my heart pounding because of the uncanny sensation I was feeling. I opened the box and I saw the severed head of Sally, eyes gouged from its sockets, teeth replaced with needles. I immediately woke Ellie and told her what happened. She suggested we should call the police right away, and we did. They arrived rather quickly and searched the house for the surroundings. They could not find anything. They questioned us for a couple hours and left. I suggested Ellie stay with me for her safety, but she insisted on going back to work. She had to earn money and couldn't allow herself to focus on this horrifying incident. I was convinced and let her go. That was the other mistake I made. After a week, I heard on the news that the restaurant was burned down and several people were tied inside of the building. A message was left on the wall of the restaurant that said, "Sinners." Ellie was one of the people that was killed and burned to death. Yesterday, I heard the sound of glass breaking. I went downstairs to see a message written on my living room wall. "You are next." I took a knife from the kitchen and went outside. I saw that my car's windows were broken, and another message was written on the doors that said, "You filthy cheater." Police cannot seem to find the person who did this, even though I know it was Mike. Once a dear friend of mine, was now my nightmare. Every night, I can hear the sound of heavy breathing coming from the closet that keeps me from sleeping. I don't know how long I can continue living like this, but I'm willing to end it, once and for all.